just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
All right, we are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. This show, Ed pops in, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I've been doing some podcasts. I did an interesting podcast, Ed, that you may want to listen to. Nothing to do with politics. Well, it had a little bit to do with politics. But I have a gentleman who's from Kentucky who is an expert on Medicare and Medicare insurance and knew a little bit about Medicare for All.
Right.
That show is going to air here probably in the next hour or so from the time we're recording this. And it gives a lot of good information about Medicare. It's a departure for the Rational Boomer Podcast, but something you want to check out. It's very good.
Something so, intelligent, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm saying is I let him talk and I just kind of shut up.
but seriously, I will listen to that because this is one that I keep bending people's ears about and they don't get it. So I need more ammunition. That's a great thing. I will do that.
Well, you know, the one thing he said, and you'll hear it in the show, that I never thought about, you know, the Medicare for All thing. He said, you know, the people who pay for Medicare, because you do have to pay a fee for it. It's not a lot,
right,
but you have to pay for it. The only people that are paying for Medicare are sick people. So they're putting money in and taking money out. If everybody had Medicare, Medicare for All, then a lot of healthy people who wouldn't need the Medicare would be paying in. Then Medicare would be far more healthy and financially better off, and it would be perfect for the whole situation. You know, you work for a big company, and the big company gets better rates because they got a lot of people putting in money. So Medicare would have the whole Medicare for All would have the whole fucking country, and then you could do something with it. And you said, well, why do you think we don't do that? Well, because the pharma, the medical industry, and the insurance companies have huge lobbies to make sure they get to keep grifting the money, and the right thing, the best thing for the country doesn't get done. Anyway, listen to the show. It's a good show.
Absolutely. And, you know, the only comment I would make on that is we've got to do it at some point because where I live, most people can't access health care. Either insurance is too expensive, the copays are too expensive,
right,
or a lot of the doctors don't accept. Well, here it's called 10 care, but it's Medicaid, right? A lot of doctors won't accept that. So you got to go shopping for a doctor that will actually take the money that you have to give them.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because, you know, they only pay so much. And,
right.
And doctors, when I was a kid, they got $5 a visit, that kind of thing. You know, now it's substantially higher, but they're still greedy. Sorry.
You know, it's interesting, Lindsey Graham, and this is going to get us into the news stuff.
Sure.
But Lindsey Graham said something, you know, that he said we should have a federal law banning abortion after 15 weeks. We don't know why he did that. That was crazy. But he made a statement. He was trying to support that claim. And he says, you know, all the countries around us, and he named off Finland, Sweden, whoever it was, all have that law. It's about time we get in line with all the other countries. And I thought that was an interesting statement because he's against Medicare for All, correct?
Right.
But yet those same countries all around us are doing that sort of thing. So why is it that we should get in line with their feelings about abortion, but not their feelings about health care? It's fucking ridiculous. They just take ideas that fit their agenda and ignore ideas that don't fit their agenda. And it just goes to prove, like I've always said, Republicans don't care about you. They don't work for you. All you have to look at is the past 6 years and tell us what they did for you. Fucking nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and this is the history of the Republican Party. You got to say they started out pretty well. you know, with Lincoln, you know, they got rid of slavery. That was a biggie. That was a good thing, right?
Yeah.
They didn't set out to do that, but it worked out that way, so I give them credit. I mean, Lincoln was on record saying if he could save the Union without abolishing slavery, he'd do it.
Right.
But he couldn't, right? So, and I don't think there were, certainly in this part of the country, there were very few abolitionists. Even the, quote, even the Republicans of the day here were just as racist as the Democrats, no matter what they want to tell you.
I mean,
that's why they all joined together pretty much to fight against the North. Here in East Tennessee, the non-rich people said, nah, we don't want to fight about slavery because we don't got none.
Right.
So, but anyway, I just
let's start out talking about
Graham.
Let's hold Lindsey Graham. He's a piece of shit. Let's talk about the kind of the hot news of the day yesterday, and that was Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott. Now, I did a TikTok earlier, and I said, you know, people will say that Republicans have no platform. And I guess that can be proven by looking at all the things they've done, which is nothing. And I said, they do have one plank of their platform that seems to be their focus now that overturning Roe v. Wade is gone. That was their main focus. That's gone now because they can't campaign on it because they've already done it. But there is one plank in that platform that is their main focus, and that is simply owning the libtards. Let's own the libtards. Let's throw it in their face. So Ron DeSantis and Gregory Abbott are always whining about the brown hordes are coming over the border. Biden's letting them in, which isn't true.
No.
There is no more people coming across the border than when Donald Trump was in. Nothing has changed. It's been like that forever. Nobody's come up with a resolution for the border problem. No president has. But anyway, so what Gregory Abbott and Ron DeSantis do, they thought they'd own the libtards by piling a bunch of immigrants onto planes and buses and sending them to rich liberal areas like Martha's Vineyard or even to Kamala Harris's doorstep. They sent it up there and they thought, well, this will be funny. This will be clever. That'll show the libtards. We will fucking own the libtards. And on Fox News, they're laughing about it and joking about it. But turns out it didn't work too well for them.
No, because the people received these poor people who were deceived, who were lied to, told that they were being sent somewhere where they would get a place to stay and jobs. This was told to them. We have, eyewitnesses to that. And they were not even fed, thrown on airplanes or buses, depending, and sent to these locations. And they were received with open arms and treated very, very well.
They were. I mean, they did what was expected. But more importantly than that, instead of looking funny, instead of looking clever, now they're taking a beating in the fucking media, mainly because what they did, some people are claiming it could be kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
It could be fraud. It could be human trafficking. Now, if that's
yes.
the case and the DOJ wants to take that up, Mr. Abbott and Mr. DeSantis might have a fucking world of trouble.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, I don't think. I know Gavin Newsom, the California governor, who's just taken a delight in plaguing both Abbott and DeSantis over abortion, over this kind of thing. He's put up billboards, for example, in all the states that have outlawed abortion saying, come to California, we'll take care of you, we'll help you get here, we'll do all of that, right?
Right.
And he is one of the ones who's pushing this, that, hey, this ain't right. And he even had I saw the yesterday, I think it was, he published a law that had to do with how they're treated that obviously showed that this has all been mishandled. So I think the DOJ right now has got their hands full on several fronts. So I don't know that that's going to happen. It's going to be seen as a political stunt And it's unfortunate if they kept it up, which I doubt they will. I think you might have to see some action of some sort. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, give me your viewpoint on it.
Well, I don't, you know, I agree with you. I don't think that there's going to be any charges or whatever. I think the cost to them will be political. You know, they've just shown another way about their inhumane treatment of people, and it's not going to do well for them in the elections. Now, Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis are both up for re-election for governors, and they're in kind of tight races right now. They don't have sure wins with Charlie Crist in Florida and Beto O'Rourke in Texas. These people could easily get beat. They could be taken off the table and then have to fend for themselves for the presidential election in 2024, try to reclaim whatever fame they might have. Now, I don't know about Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott's done a number of things that might get him in legal trouble. Ron DeSantis, I've always made this suggestion, and I'll make it again. People go, where did you get that? But we know the thing with Matt Gaetz and Joel Greenberg, that's going to come to fruition sometime soon, because Joel Greenberg is going to be finally sentenced. And right. Then Matt Gaetz, who we know was thrown under the bus, will get a lot of heat, if not indicted. Okay. Now, during that whole process, people really didn't pay attention to the fact, but they talk about Matt Gaetz, but it's not all about Matt Gaetz. They're saying there are other powerful political people in Florida that might be under scrutiny, that might fall into this investigation. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying who that might be. It could be Marco Rubio. It could be Ron DeSantis. And somebody would say, well, why would you think it's Ron DeSantis? And I don't know for sure, but I know that there have been several photos of Joel Greenberg, Matt Gaetz, and Ron DeSantis. Yep. Ron DeSantis is of that age. He's of that arrogance. It's conceivable he might be tied into this investigation. And if he is, he's fucking done. That's why I tell people I wouldn't be so sure about him running for president in 2024. I don't think he'll be around any more than Donald Trump will.
No, these thugs tend to kind of self-immolate after a while, whether it's Tail Gunner, Joe McCarthy, or some others along the way. They tend to go just a step too far. And make no mistake, DeSantis is as much a thug as Donald Trump, and that means he's a complete thug.
Oh, they absolutely.
Both are, and you can tell the way they deal with crises. It's always my way or the highway. It's always a brutal thing. It's like going against Disney. And what did Disney do except say, we don't really like your stand on something? You know, the corporate Disney came out against some of his policies. Well, so what does he do? He screws the people of Florida out of billions of dollars by changing the tax status on Disney. Didn't hurt Disney at all. We know that. They got all the money in the world. The mouse is flush.
Yeah, he is. You have to wonder if the upcoming movie from Disney is causing all kinds of controversy, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. The Little Mermaid, and this time the Little Mermaid happens to be black.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you wonder if that isn't a nod to the white supremacist in this country by Disney.
I absolutely believe it. If you've seen lately what Disney has done, it's very consciously, done Hispanic movies.
Right,
Has humanized Hispanic people to the majority. And made some really fine movies at the same time. They are obviously doing everything they can to be inclusive and to preach diversity.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, 30 years ago or thereabouts, whatever it is, I remember taking my oldest son to Little Mermaid. Okay.
Yeah.
And he loved the movie. He was a little guy. He loved the movie. I would say he probably would still watch the movie today.
Yeah.
Now, all these years later, we've got this new Little Mermaid, and she happens to be black. But I cannot fucking wait to take my 2.5-year-old daughter or granddaughter to see the new Little Mermaid. It will change her life. I honestly believe that, like it did her dad. She will embrace it. She'll love Ariel. She'll love the story. She'll watch it over and over again at home, I'm sure, just like her dad did. And the fact that this cartoon character is a different color, who the fuck cares? I mean, Jesus Christ, aren't the Simpsons yellow?
Good point.
So who the fuck cares?
Nobody, except people who want to MAGA things up, you know, and make America great again, which means make America white again, in the sense that white people control everything and everybody else is a second or third class citizen. That's what MAGA means.
Right.
Fight me. You know, I mean, there's no question that that's exactly what it means. And that's what's going on in Florida. You've got DeSantis being a mini Trump down there, trying to appeal to all the old racists in Florida, which he does, and which is how he gets elected, and how Scott is a senator, even though he's a major criminal. And they only watch Fox News. That's what it comes down to. And so they're totally out of they don't understand that they're being taken. Now, the other thing that I don't understand, and this goes for both Texas and Florida, why do they keep voting for these guys when they obviously, why do Hispanics keep voting for these guys when they obviously hate them? Why do black people in Georgia vote for someone like Herschel Walker, who's obviously a stooge? What's going on here? How are they being fooled?
I don't understand that at all. And I'm reticent to say they're being fooled. I don't know that they're being fooled, but they misunderstand what this party is all about. They are white supremacists. They, you know, this is something we see all over the country. People, white people, black people, Asian people, Hispanic people, for some reason, there's a certain faction of these people that vote against their better interest. And I don't get it. I mean, I think part of it is somebody like Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis, they act like the tough guy. So they see them as their champion fighting against the government. They're more concerned about how the government has oppressed them, and they feel this is their way to get back at the government, when in fact that's not true. But I don't understand it. You know what else I don't understand is the Republicans are in a fight for their life for the midterms now. They thought they were going to win it easily, and now they're not. But they keep doing things to undermine their efforts. You know, the whole idea of overturning Roe v. Wade before the midterms was fucking crazy. They thought it would be a big play, and then the polls come out and say, no, you fucked yourself on that one. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, okay. But then Lindsey Graham comes out and says he wants to make it national. He pretty much put a nail in the coffin for anybody that's going to vote against these people because of Roe v. Wade. And then DeSantis and Greg Abbott do these things. Are they stupid? Are they evil? Or are they purposely trying to sink the Republican Party? I don't get it.
Yes. Yes to all of that.
Okay.
Number one, they've decided that solidifying the base is something they have to do. So that's why Lindsey's out, even though less than 2 weeks ago, they've got him on film saying, well, just like marriage equality, I think Roe v. Wade should be left to the states. That's what he says. Then he comes out and he wants to have a national law that says, no, he can't have an abortion after 15 weeks. So he contradicts himself. Now, if we didn't have a corporate media, every media outlet in the country yesterday would have showed those two videos side by side.
Right.
And said, look, Lindsey Graham's a piece of shit. You know, I mean, that's truth in news. That's what needs to be said every day. We have these people. There's no question. All you have to do is use their public statements and show them contradicting themselves left and right and left and right. But they've decided that the thing to do is solidify their base, because they know, and this is absolutely true, there's just as many MAGAs or white supremacists, if you will, in Minnesota and Oregon as there are in Mississippi and Georgia.
Right.
It's just, it's not a Southern thing. It's everywhere. It's in New England. It's in the West. It's everywhere. You got these people. So they figure they've got all of those. The other thing they're going to do is, like in Georgia right now, they're purging voter rolls. They're up to their usual tricks. They've got all of these MAGA shitheads running for Secretary of State and so forth. They're going to cheat. They're going to scream the election was stolen if they don't win. They're gonna try to do the same thing, muddy the waters, but they're going to try to cheat. That's what's going to happen. That is their strategy, solidify the base and cheat.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. I mean, there isn't enough of the base to win an election fairly. We know they tried to cheat in 2016 and accomplished it. We know they cheated in 2020, but they fucking failed. And we know that with the gerrymandering and all this other stuff, cheating is really their main strategy in winning in the future, because that's all they've got. There isn't enough of these Republicans, certainly Republicans that happen to be white supremacists. So that's their only option. They're grasping at straws just to try to stay alive.
Yeah, and it works. Now, here in East Tennessee, the people I grew up with, right, they're basically, a lot of them, there's some assholes, but a lot of them are basically nice people. But they're all historical Republicans. You know, there's a few Democrats sprinkled in there, but they're mostly Republicans. And they never think of it like, let's starve children on welfare. They would be horrified by that. But they don't link the Republican policies with that. They don't look at Texas, where they're taking all of this money that the federal government that you and I paid in taxes that they sent back to these red states because they have so many children in poverty.
Right.
They don't get that they took that child poverty money and gave it to an ex-football star, Brett Favre, and for a lot of other crap. It never got where it was supposed to go. They don't understand that Republican policies, not even in general, specifically, are geared toward keeping the lower class lower, because they want cheap labor. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. And I just read somewhere the money that, I mean, that's one of the things with DeSantis and Abbott sending these immigrants to Martha's Vineyard and Kamala Harris's house. That costs money. That costs taxpayer money to do it, over and above the kidnapping potential and the human trafficking and just the indecency of doing it. But I read someplace that Ron DeSantis took money out of like COVID relief stuff.
Yep, $12 billion.
To send them up there to do this. So they took federal money over and above, whether it's human trafficking or kidnapping. There's got to be some notice of mishandling of government funds. Because that's not what it was intended for.
No, but see, this is how they get over. They send their representatives to Washington, and they make sure. I mean, it took a while, but they finally got it done, where the federal relief money, instead of being sent to an agency in each state that doles it out, that was under federal control the way it used to be, families with dependent children and so forth, they sent it as they got it voted in, I forget which administration did it. Maybe it was Trump. Maybe it was before that. But they managed to do it so that, I guess they did it in Obama's second term when he wasn't able to override the veto. But it all comes now as block grants to the states, and then it's theirs.
They can do whatever they want.
You know, it's still geared to that. That's why it's sent. But they don't have to use it for that, and they don't. Tennessee has been sitting on every penny they get for that for like 6 years.
So
they haven't spent it.
But what you're saying is the federal government is sending it to them and putting them on the honor system, but there is no honor among thieves.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're supposed to have to, they have to do studies on child poverty and so forth and see if it's doing any good. And of course, it isn't. The only thing that's done anything on child poverty was when they canceled the, or when
The tax credit, the child tax
credit.
That's
it. The child tax credit that was allowed to expire because the Republicans would not back it, because it was, you know, it wasn't allowing. The other thing, the DeSantis yesterday or the day before, at least this past week, gave all of the first responders, police, firemen, and all of that, $1,000 bonus. I think it was $1,000, and crowed about it. All of that was in the infrastructure bill. That's where they got the money.
Right, right.
You know, federal money. He had not jack shit to do with it, and it was supposed to be used for that purpose. But he's going, look what I did. Well, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Biden did that.
Well, you know, I think that is the epitome of cruelty by the Republican Party. When they had the COVID relief bill and they had money for the child tax credit, they brought 50% of kids in poverty out of poverty.
Yes.
And then when it came up to there's nothing bad about that whole situation. I can't imagine anybody arguing for child poverty. I mean, even a Republican can't argue against helping kids in poverty. Yet when it came down to voting for it, not one Republican voted for it, and that child tax credit stopped. So I can only presume that if we took 50% of kids in poverty out of poverty by giving the child tax credit, we put them back in fucking poverty by taking it away from them. And that is the ultimate cruelty.
Right. And then you don't use the money that the Democrats have sent you for that purpose, because it is the Democrats. It's always the Democrats who try to do anything about poverty. And this is, you know, this is the other thing, like those nice Republican people I'm talking about, they don't make connections. Right. Either they're not interested in politics, or they have been told by their preacher last Sunday that Republicans good, Democrats bad.
Yeah.
And they internalize that crap, and they don't get that. Okay. A Republican will say, well, these people are poor because they're lazy.
Right.
They won't take the jobs. You know, they could, one job won't do it. Get two, get three. You know, they always push it. It's because people are lazy. They don't want to work. Or, okay, well, you got pregnant, you got to have the kid. No abortions. You shouldn't have too many kids if you can't afford them.
Right, right.
You see the inconsistency there. But yeah. They preach both. They talk out of both sides of their mouth all the time.
I've met a lot of poor people in my life. I've had periods of time in my life where I was maybe considered poor or poverty. We've all struggled at times. And I rarely see people who are fucking lazy. They're actually desperate, and they'll do anything to survive, you know, whether it be collect, you know, cans in the park or whatever it has to do. I mean, people have to eat. People have to have shelter. So they've got to do something with it. The Republicans want to make it as difficult as they can by having low minimum wage, high taxes, you know, stealing money from them to give to the rich who don't need it. This is when I look at what we're talking about here, you know, Ron DeSantis using money incorrectly or Greg Abbott sending immigrants to Martha's Vineyard or what have you. One of the things that I think that was exposed during the Trump administration is that this government doesn't have much in the way of teeth. I mean, we always hear about Donald Trump breaking norms. Now, why were they norms? Because people were decent people, but they felt like there was some kind of retribution or some kind of punishment for breaking those norms. But all through Donald Trump's presidency, we found he broke those norms all the time, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And the same with like the governors DeSantis and Abbott. There should be some punishment for misusing federal funds. I mean, if you and I misuse federal funds, we would be arrested and charged and fined or whatever. But they don't do it to the governors because there's norms. We're going to send you stuff for COVID relief, so it's on the honor system that you'll use it for COVID relief, but they don't. And because the norms and the government have no teeth, there's no backlash from it other than the people of the country getting to hear what's happening.
Absolutely. And as you say, we don't think ahead of time to make a law. Well, there actually is one that sort of that says an ex-president can't take any damn thing he wants and stick it in his basement as far as classified information goes.
Right.
There is actually, you know, because they were trying, they put this law in effect that basically did criminalize what Trump did. But, you know, he got caught by it, not her, because she didn't do it.
Right.
But there are so many other things that we just don't expect that people will sink low enough to do. Taking child poverty money and giving it to a multimillionaire football player for speeches he doesn't give and a volleyball facility for his daughter to play in, we right. don't think that is something that anyone would ever think to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's no specific law that forbids that.
Right.
I think there's something in Texas they may be able to get the former governor on. I know that the woman who actually wrote the checks, because I guess they falsified what they were doing with it so people wouldn't know. Maybe that's what they got them on. I'm not sure, but there may be some consequences here. There certainly be some consequences to Brett Favre, I would think, in the sense of just a reputation.
But, well, he's probably not going to do any more Wrangler Jean commercials.
Probably not, yeah. And I never liked the guy anyway, because, of course, I was a Minnesota Vikings fan. And,
right.
You know, even though he wound up there, didn't he, for a season?
He played with the Vikings a year or two, yeah, and people yeah. liked him because he played well. But, you know, here's what I'm saying, though, is as we find out what happened in the Oval Office in the White House and how Donald Trump did all these things that were wrong or at least in conflict with the norms, and we see what other government officials do, up until recently, they didn't do that because they felt like there would be some punishment for it. And now Donald Trump has exposed that there is no punishment because you can get away with anything. As much as they want to say no one's above the law, that's bullshit. Donald Trump, any sitting president, is above the law. I don't care what the fuck you tell me. You tell me you can't indict them, they are above the law. So the only thing they risk, it's us.
Right.
So we have to take that responsibility. If somebody does what Donald Trump does, or Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott, the only point where they're going to pay a price is us and whether they get reelected into their positions. So we have to take notice of that these people aren't going to be held accountable for a lot of things unless we make them accountable. That's why our votes are important. That's why activism is important. And that's why getting this information out to people who do vote is so important. It's sad, but it's all left to us to make these people pay for their crimes. That's not how it should be.
No, and unfortunately, the Republicans for several years now have been working to destroy the judiciary.
Right.
And to install justices like the lady down in Georgia, who ruled on the Florida, or no, Georgia. Where is she? The one who ruled on the Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, she's in Florida. She's in Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Aileen Cannon.
Yes, Cannon father. She should yeah. be. But anyway, I mean, she's unqualified. The ABA said this woman is unqualified. Don't make her a judge. So, of course, Trump made her a judge, along with several others. But this has been going on. Bush did the same thing. And this has been going on for some time now. People don't realize that there are. I could probably, if I wanted to sit here and think for a while, I could come up with 10 different think tanks, all sponsored, heavily funded by the Koch brothers and people like that, these right-wing billionaires. They have all of these think tanks with lawyers and ex-politicians, all kind of lobbyists. They had all blended together, and their job is to do nothing except sit around all day and find a way to destroy the federal government.
Right.
Each of them separately, all of them together. That's their job, because right. billionaires don't like a strong central government. They like everything to be fragmented, because it's so much easier to deal to buy a governor than it is to buy the entire federal government, which right. they do routinely.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what they want. They want the federal government gone. They want Social Security gone. They want Medicare gone. Anything that smacks of supporting people to get them out of poverty, because they want people in poverty. They don't want to lower the minimum wage. They want to get rid of the minimum wage. No minimum wage.
Right.
Work for whatever we will are willing to pay you, which if, in the case of like Trump, for example, is nothing, because they will have you do the work and then they won't pay you anything.
Well, the one thing I will say about minimum wage right now, with minimum wage, it should be higher, of course, but
triple.
Well, it should be triple. But the thing about it is they always say, well, let the market dictate it. Mm-hmm. Well, the market's a fucking different deal now. If we go on supply and demand, there's a lot of demand for hiring people, but not as many people to be hired. So now these people have to raise their wages in order to get people to even fucking work for them. So maybe right now the minimum wage is important, but the free market will actually dictate what these people will get paid. And see, this is what I don't understand. They don't want the brown people coming across the border, yet they don't have enough employees. The fix might be is to bring people across the border and fill these jobs that can't be filled. Because frankly, if you have a business and you can't hire anybody, you're fucking out of business.
Well, see, we're back to the corporate media now here. Corporate media loves to send cameras down there with politicians walking along talking about how horrible it is that these brown hordes are pouring across the border and disappearing into the country, which is not happening at all.
No.
And but they never cover the fact that most illegal immigrants come in on a work visa or a tourist visa, on a plane or a boat to anywhere in the country except the southern border. And for example, right there in Minnesota where you live, right?
Right.
Go to a Burger King in the Twin Cities.
Yep.
Now, at the counter, there's going to be some probably young ladies or men, usually teenagers or something, serving you who speak English.
Right.
Back in the kitchen, if you listen, it's all Spanish.
Right.
And I my local Burger King, I once asked the lady who was the manager. I went in there fairly often. I got to know her, knew her first name and all that. And I said, Janice, how come you got so many Hispanic workers? And she said, oh, these people are all from El Salvador. This Burger King and most of the Burger Kings are all owned by, and she named the staffing company. I don't remember the name of it now.
Right.
They own the Burger Kings. They go to El Salvador. They recruit these people. They get them work visas. They bring them here, and they work in the Burger Kings here because they make much more money here than they can down there. They all live, you know, 8 to an apartment, that sort of thing.
Right.
And they can work for, I forget how many weeks it was. Then they have to go back to El Salvador for a couple of weeks. Then they come back, and they're just doing this all the time. And that was just Burger King, right?
Right.
Now, that's happening all over Minneapolis. It's happening all over the country where they're doing that, not just with El Salvador, but most of the South American countries. Well, at some point, these folks realize, hey, nobody's watching me. And my cousin Jorge just got a job on this with this roofing company, and they gave him some fake IDs and stuff. And he's making way more than I am here in Burger King. Right. So I'm just not going to show up tomorrow. That's right. Where illegal immigration comes from. And it's not hurting anybody, because the roofing company can't get the people they need to work for them in the same way that Burger King can't get the people they need to work for them. So right. They're bringing these people in. They're exploiting them. and paying them less than they probably would anyone else to work in the kitchen and on the roof. But it's working for them. And eventually, you know, they integrate themselves into society. And a couple of generations down the road, they might as well be legal. You know, that's what the Dreamers Act is all about, because the parents may be illegal, but the kids have been here, gone to school and all of that. They're as American as they can be.
Right.
They should be Americans.
Right.
Because most of them were born here. You know, so this is the way illegal immigration works. It's under the table. You know, there was a big, I think it was Mississippi, where they went in and they closed down this meat packing place, and they went in there with buses and buses, and they gathered up all of these workers and deported them, right?
Right.
Back to wherever they came from, in South America or whatever. It was a big deal. Well, the owners of the company, they didn't do nothing to them. And you know, they just moved somewhere else and brought in some more illegals and started up again. Not far from where I sit right now, there was exactly the same operation. Uh-huh. And it happens all over the country. So if you took the illegal immigrants or the illegals out of the American economy, it would collapse tomorrow.
Yeah, it would. So they want to keep these brown people out, but it could be very valuable to this country if we could fill some of these jobs that aren't being filled. You would think it would make these businesses flourish more, but still, it's all about race. It's not about making money, which is weird because that's all I think they care about.
But it's about race and it's about money, because if I want a meatpacking operation where I have to pay a decent wage to get, well, I'll just say it, white people to work it, because it's hard, disgusting work, I'm going to have to pay them $30 an hour.
Right.
I can pay somebody 10 who's an illegal, and I don't have to pay any benefits either.
Yeah.
You know, and I keep part of their money. What are they going to do?
You know, people.
And they do that. They do that too. Sometimes they'll work a bunch of people for a while, and then they'll call INS. Mm-hmm. There's an illegal operation in so-and-so county. You better come down here and take a look at it. They come down, sweep them away, and they don't have to pay them. You know, I mean, this is dirty, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Everybody in the business world knows it. Everybody in the political world knows it. It's just the Fox News watchers and the people who don't think about it. They don't know, but we've been exploiting these people forever. You know, it was whether it's picking vegetables or cooking your burger, it's happening, or having your roof done, or whatever it is that the kind of work that white people don't want to do, they're doing it.
Right. Well, you know, I get notes, people on my post and emails and stuff, and they'll say something like, "This country is just broken." And I don't tend to look at things like that, but when you think about it, when you look at the way our businesses are run, the way the money is in this country, the way we're seeing with the government, God damn if she isn't right or they aren't right. It is broken. I mean, we've got a lot to fix. The only redeeming value of what's going on now is it was all brought to the surface, and it's been proven to be as broken as it is. So hopefully we can take that and do something to repair it, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Ed, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
We are back on the Rational Boomer podcast. Ed is with me, and we left that break on a somber note, the idea that this country is broken. And Ed, you had something else to add with that.
Yeah, you could say that about this country every day since they adopted the Constitution. This
True.
Country is broken. Anybody could have said that. I mean, right now, today, the United States Army is not murdering indigenous women and children. okay, that I know of, right?
Right, right.
The, as a policy, Black people are not being herded into prison camps in Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama on trumped up charges and kept there the rest of their lives, re-enslaved, if you will, for things like charges like vagrancy because they couldn't find a job and winding up in prison and working for the same people they used to work for because they farmed them out. In large part, that isn't happening. It is happening. It is happening. Black people still go to jail far more often than white people for the same offenses, and they wind up working. The prison labor is still a thing. Tennessee is fighting over whether or not to actually finally outlaw slavery at this point. I think they may have passed it. I'd have to check on it. But the state constitution, and I guess the amendment, says that slavery was abolished except as punishment for criminal activity.
Right.
And so anyway, they're trying to get rid of that. Maybe they did. But my point is the country was broken. It is broken. It will be broken. But it's probably better than most of the others. You still have more opportunity here, no matter your color, than you do in some other countries. And with us seeing Orban in Hungary and whatever this crazy lady's name is in Italy, even in England, their new prime minister is just Margaret Thatcher without the charm. You know, I mean, it's just worldwide, we're seeing a resurgence of this right-wing bullshit that we had to put down in the 30s. And then we had this beautiful window of the late 40s through the early to mid 60s where the country kind of worked.
Right, right.
And we were addressing some things like civil rights and so forth. And people got their hopes up. But this, the world is shitty. I'm sorry, and we're no exception.
Well, not only were we dealing with civil rights in that period, we were forcing rich people to pay their fair share.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why we had a great economy.
Yeah. We're always up to our neck in crap.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether they raise or lower the level of the crap as to whether you see this as a broken country or not. The fact is we can still make it better always, and that's what we have to strive to do. But people are imperfect. People have the seven deadly sins we love more than anything.
Absolutely.
And we will continue to sin every one of them as often as we can. We all have greed. We all have avarice. We all have every one of them, and we cannot get above that. I'm sorry.
Well, let's acknowledge that the country is broken. It's been broken for decades, for centuries. It's been broken. But why does it seem worse now? Well, I'll tell you why I think. It's because we've got a 24-hour news cycle on in the media, and we've got media without any integrity when it comes to journalism, and they just spew whatever they think they want to sell. And since we're talking about this, I've been kind of taken aback by CNN. We know that CNN is now owned by some Trump-humping piece of shit. They brought somebody in from the Colbert Show to be the executive and do whatever changes they're going to do. As much as he was with Colbert, they are switching further to the right. I've heard some things that Jake Tapper said that pissed me off because I used to like Jake Tapper. And then they just announced yesterday that Don Lemon, who was pretty
moved.
Popular,
he
essentially got demoted to the morning show.
Yeah.
But at that point, we understand that the ratings for CNN are shit anyway. So they're trying to make a wholesale change and go an opposite direction, which I find disappointing.
Well, I mean, the fact is, and I don't know the guy from Colbert. I understand he's a fairly decent guy, but this is a business decision on their part. It's either change the dynamic or cease to exist.
Right.
Because Fox has the right, MSNBC has the left, Plus, they're tied in with NBC as far as ad revenue goes. So they're fairly safe. They can be as liberal as they want, right? CNN, though, here, it's trapped because nobody watches cable news under the age of 50. Right. At least that's the perception by the ad agencies.
And you're not going to get the young people to do that, no matter what you do.
No. And the ad agencies know that, so they will not buy anything on CNN except funeral plots and medications, that kind of thing, because they know the over 50s are watching, right? So they'll buy that shit, but you can't run a network on that. So it's either they're trying this to see if they can get enough viewers to keep going. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you and I have had a lot of experience with radio program directors. And the one thing I note about radio programmers, they don't know fuck all about fuck all. I just want to tell you a story. I don't know if I've ever told you this story before. It might have been prior to you and I working together. I went with another friend of mine, and I was young and I wanted to get some exposure on the radio. And I always wanted to do a talk show, not unlike this. And so a friend of mine, we went to this radio station. It's in the 1280 range. And we said, we want to do a sports show on Saturday or Sunday. And how much would that cost? Now, the program director at the time said, well, listen, here's the deal. You do the show, we get you free, and then we'll split the ads. Well, that was fine. And we sold a couple ads. We didn't make any money because it wasn't a great station. It wasn't a huge audience, but we got to do it. And we did it for, you know, maybe 8 months to a year. They got a new program director. The program director called me up and said, Mike, I understand you're doing this and you're not paying for the time. I said, that's right. We're sharing the advertising. And he said, yeah, we're going to stop doing that. And I said, yeah, you know, I get it. And it's not making any money and you probably want to make some changes. I said, are you going to change the station? Cause it was playing oldies music on it before. He says, oh yeah, we're changing the format of the station and it's pretty exciting. I said, oh really? What are you going to do? I laughed at him when he told me. He said, listen, man, on radio, there's nothing more important to people than weather.
Oh, 24-hour weather station.
Okay. That's what he fucking did. 24-hour weather station. I go, are you serious? Now, I'm in my 20s, I think, at the time. And I go, that's not going to fucking work. He said, why is it going to work? I said, one of the things you measure is how long people listen to your radio station. Nobody's going to listen to your radio station more than 10 minutes. It's going to suck. No, we think it's really going to work. They did it for 6 months and then canned that fucker and went back to oldies.
Yeah.
So their desperation there, and that's what CNN's doing. They're trying to stay alive, and they don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, and there's nothing they can do because they're aging out, like so many things. It's like broadcast TV. Did you watch the debacle of the Emmys?
I did not. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, it used to be the Emmys were this huge deal. In a terrific venue, and everybody was there, and the host was the most popular guy in the world at the time, you know, a Billy Crystal or somebody like that. So they got the chubby guy from Saturday Night Live, Keenan.
Oh, Keenan.
He's the host. And, you know, he's an okay comedian, but he doesn't have a lot of stature, right? He's been on.
It's not like Johnny Carson back in the day.
No, exactly. Or Bob Hope before him.
Right.
But, and many others since then. But, there were about four programs that were nominated. Everybody was nominated in them, and they dominated, and they were all not on broadcast. There was one broadcast, show that you know had a few people nominated and so forth, but it was almost all streaming stuff.
That
tells you is for the most part that only old people are watching broadcast television.
Yeah, network television, network news. I don't watch network television. I don't watch the network news.
And you're not
dead.
Alone.
It's dead.
It's dead. And cable is dead too, because it costs so much. you get so little. And you can go out and buy a Roku and you know, before you know it, I mean, that's my wife and I don't have cable.
Right.
We do Hulu and we have got a Roku.
So do we.
Hulu, you know, and all of that. And we pay much less and
yeah.
We get just as good a service. And if we will, we shop among the different providers. If there's something coming up on HBO we want to see, then we'll sign up for HBO.
Right.
If there's something on Netflix we want to see, we do that. We take them, we drop them, and usually we get a deal to take them back.
Right.
So it works out fine. But my Aunt Tilly ain't going to do that. You know, she's going to lock in with Spectrum, and she's going to sit down and watch that crap.
And radio's the same thing. I mean, radio's
yes.
been a dying industry. People come to me and say, how do I get into radio, Mike? I go, you don't want to get into radio. That's a fucking wasteland. The radio, I mean, who wants to turn on the radio, hear the same 20 songs over and over, and listen to 20 minutes of fucking commercials, especially when you have an option like a podcast? I would much rather listen to a podcast than radio. I can't do it. My wife is a big fan of a local morning show, and
yeah.
she'll listen to the recordings of it, the on-demand of it, and she'll listen to you. Isn't that funny? I go, not really. It's all formulaic. It's all the same old shit I've heard for 60 years on morning radio. I'm tired of it. I want something more compelling. I want something more stimulating than some stupid fart joke. It's just not fucking entertaining to me.
Right. Well, we were an anomaly when we were on, because we had a format that very few people it appealed to. I mean, jazz,
right.
it's an elitist format. I mean, in the sense that only certain people like it. It's
right.
not an income thing I'm talking about. It's an interest thing. Right.
Right. Right.
So we had a very loyal audience, but a small one. But it was enough for us. And then we had the traffic, which was also something that everybody needed at the time, because we didn't have a smartphone that you could pop up and look at all or listen to it and tell you what's going on. You had to tune in a radio station. So then they tuned in for your traffic. So we had them two ways there, right?
Right.
But what we saw everywhere else is suddenly something would become hot. A format would become hot. And then everybody would do a variation of that for
right.
a couple of years.
Right.
And somebody would succeed and the others would all fail. And they'd switch to something else. I can't tell you how many times the major broadcast radio stations in the Twin Cities changed formats over time.
Right.
From country to rock and roll to back to soft rock. Oh, let's do something for women. You know, I mean,
well, you know, the thing about it is that I think the media, whether it be cable TV, broadcast TV, broadcast radio, I think the media is, they haven't learned a lesson. You remember when the music industry got hit with Napster and people downloading stuff for free?
Right. Yeah.
They should have embraced that and somehow monetized it, but instead they fought against it and they took a beating. They're still taking a beating, because you've got musicians now that don't get paid shit while Spotify and other places are making money on it. They're the distributors of the music, and the music industry has taken a huge hit. And now the media in general is going to take that same hit. They didn't learn any lessons from what they watched happen in music.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if the problem with the broadcast industry in general is that they're run by people who come out of sales.
Right.
And they
right.
don't give a crap what is on the air. They just want the bottom line. They want to produce it as cheaply as possible and charge the most they possibly can for the advertising. That's what they do, you know. And if they can get a guy who, a morning guy, let's say, or girl, or team that everybody listens to, oh, that's great. Now let's reproduce that 400 times in the same market.
Right.
And pretty soon the original will continue to work, but all the others will try it for a while and then go on to something else. And then they'll come up. Remember when it was always usually one or two guys in the morning. And then they came up with this thing they called the zoo format.
Yeah.
And that was everywhere for a while. And you don't see that anymore.
No, you don't see it anymore because, you know, frankly, in media, well, I don't know if people realize this, but in radio and in the media on broadcast television, these people who were on these shows, whether it be radio or TV, made a lot of money. They were paid a lot of money. That's not the case anymore. There isn't enough income. You know, they may be the highest rated station in town, but those ratings are far less than what they were seeing in the 80s. So they can't afford to pay people. I know of some radio people in this town. They do all nights on a radio station in town. But it's not like they go to the station and sit down and put in their 8 hours and get paid for 8 hours of work. What they do is they go into a studio for an hour, hour and a half. They get paid for that. They take down their voice intros and outros and whatever else, commercials, whatever. They put them in a computer and they run this music all night and they just insert these little voice segments into the fucking show as if that person is there all night, but they are not. They're saving money because they're not paying these people 8 hours a day and there is no benefits. It's just it's all fabricated. And I've always said that, you know, if you focused on the quality of the content, the money will come, but they're too greedy. They want to get the money first and then the content. They can afford to do the content. Unfortunately, that doesn't work. I know there are other people that I know that tried to do podcasts, you know, and before they started the podcast, they go, I got to get a sponsor to make it worth my while to make money. Well, that makes no sense because you have no fucking listeners. Right. When I went into this doing the podcast and doing the TikTok, I wasn't even thinking about making money because I didn't have anything that was worth a shit. It's up until the time you get a vast audience and you have quality content, then maybe you can look at possible advertisers. But people are looking at the money first, content second, and that's where they're fucking up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always been the other thing about, and it's similar, but let me just refine this in a different way. All the innovation in broadcasting, so far as the talent side of it, came from the talent. It wasn't some either sales manager or program director who came up with something at work. It was somebody on the air who thought, you know, I could use some extra voices here and we'll create these characters and so forth and do this and so forth. And they put together the format thing and it worked. And then everybody was happy and they tried to go on, but it wasn't somebody who dictated this is what you're going to do or something like that. It's always the creatives who do it and they rarely make the money. They rarely get the credit. It's always, you know, whoever's sitting in the big chair behind the big desk in the corner office who gets all the praise and all the money. And, you know, the talent gets T-shirts and possibly minimum wage.
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's the same in the music business. You got all these guys in suits making all kinds of money off these hit records. And you've got the people who created the content, the music, that are getting the pittance. You know, Prince was a perfect example of somebody who noticed that and said, fuck it, I'm going to distribute my own stuff. And people said, well, he sells fewer records. And he did sell
he
a lot.
All the money.
He gets all the money. And Prince was smart enough to figure that out. It's not about selling billions of records and getting a penny off every record. It's about selling 5 million records and getting all the money. These people, you know, with the onset of the internet, people have made money when it came to radio and television and music, not because they were creative or talented in any way. It's because they had a platform where they could distribute and disseminate that information. The internet flattened the playing field there. Now, I can disseminate my own radio show or podcast to as many people as I can get. I don't need ABC. I don't need a radio station. I don't need some kind of network to fucking do it. And that's where the problem with the media is. There's too much competition, too much content out there, and they just can't compete.
Right. And exactly. Used to, if you wanted to make, you'd like write a sitcom, let's say, right? And right. The writers would get a certain amount of money. The actors would get a certain amount of money, but the network would make all the money from the advertising, right? And dole it out. Now you can take your smartphone and set it up in front of you and do a podcast. And if you're good at what you do, you can become a millionaire quickly.
Yeah,
with a smartphone. And you don't need any of that other stuff because the ease of communication has changed the playing field completely.
I don't have any proof of it. I don't even have any reason to believe it. But I like to think that the Rational Boomer podcast and the Rational Boomer TikToks is the main reason CNN is coming down. They don't need fucking CNN. No. They can come to the Rational Boomer.
I'm pretty sure that's it. I'm pretty sure that's what did it.
let's talk about some politics again.
All right.
I heard a story. It's not getting a lot of play, but I think it tells us a lot. We know that Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, is in the process of investigating Donald Trump and his businesses because of fraudulent claims, you know, overvalued.
No. She just doesn't like him. That's what he says. And she's racist.
And she's right. Well, she's racist. She's a black woman and she's racist against orange people. And I understand that.
I hate orange people too.
I hate all fucking orange people. Fuck orange people. But, so anyway, she's got this investigation and she said, I'm going to take down this crime family, the Trump Organization, because they are doing horrible things. So now she's doing this investigation. She forced the Trump kids and Donald Trump to testify. They tried to get out of it, but they had to testify. They probably didn't say shit. But here's a telling thing right now. Just the other day, Donald Trump went to her and said, listen, man, can we just settle this? And that's what Donald Trump has done with all these kinds of cases. He doesn't want the information to get out, so he just settles it quietly and moves on. But Letitia James, she didn't say it in so many words, but she essentially said, fuck yourself. No, we're not going to do this. And people are taking that as a cue that she is going to sue Donald Trump and the Trump Organization, which would be a great thing because then all the evidence will come to light.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's Eric or Junior who's going to take the fall, but it's going to be one of them. She's not going to go after Donald. She's going to let the Georgia people and she's going to let the January 6th people take care of Donald. She's going to take care of either Eric or Junior, and I'm thinking it's going to be Eric.
Well, and the organization,
but that's who's going to take the fall.
Right, right. But to be perfectly honest with you, if she doesn't get them, the Manhattan District, as much as they're worried about, you know, Bragg not going after Donald Trump Sr., they are going to court with an indictment to the Trump Organization. And we know that Alan Weisselberg is going to talk about the organization. So that's going to bring the organization down. And then Letitia James is going to sue the piss out of them. And Donald Trump's, the Trump Organization will be no more. It will be gone from the landscape.
Yeah, and I actually think that's why Jared Kushner cozied up to the Saudis so much and got the $2 billion to manage was because he saw that's what was going to happen. And anybody can see it. I mean, this is the iceberg is ahead and the captain of the Titanic is combing his hair. You know, I mean, this is going to happen. They're going to crash, but... I think what Trump did with bringing his kids in, and this is so cynical and it's so horrible that you know it's true.
Yeah.
He set them up to take the fall.
Or at least absorb some of the fallout.
Yeah. Oh, well, he doesn't care if his kids go to prison. Are you kidding me? He just assumed they die. He has no love. I don't think he's capable of it. To be honest with you.
Oh, he's a narcissist. I mean, he doesn't like anybody. It's all about him.
Well, he wants to sleep with his daughter, but the kid, the sons, no, you know, they didn't turn out to be as quite as ruthless as he is, or I don't know. They probably are, but he doesn't see it that way. No. But I'm pretty sure that you watch and see. And, you know, I'll say I was wrong if I'm wrong, but I still think this is going to come down with Eric Trump going to jail for a while.
Yeah. And that will be problematic. Now the thing is that, Donald Trump, I think, is also concerned about evidence of what they did wrong there coming out, because then that may fuel the criminal investigation with Bragg again. That will give him some things to work on to go after Donald Trump. And maybe that's what he's been waiting for. I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know. Cyrus Vance, of course, something was done there that stymied that investigation to an extent, or I think they would have gone ahead. That's why the prosecutors all resigned who had been working on it, because he didn't want to go ahead with it for whatever reason, probably not a good one. But something's happening there, and I'm glad to see it. The fact that he was willing to settle shows you that he knows he's going to lose.
And he's scared shitless. But the thing about it is that particular investigation is the least of his problems. Maybe he's trying to get the easy one out of the way, because that comparatively is the easy one. But Letitia James just not having it.
No, and I applaud her. And, this is the culmination of so many decades of wrongdoing. I mean, remember that they had a charity that they mismanaged, the foundation, where they were stealing the money that they were getting for childhood cancer and that whatever, you know, that they were just using it as a slush fund. Right. And they settled, and that they let them settle. So this has been a right along, let them settle. And finally, it's no settlement this time, mother. You're done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what's interesting? I don't know if you heard this, but Donald Trump was on a radio show, Hugh Hewitt. And I remember Hugh Hewitt. I remember working at the talk station like in the early 80s, and they had all these network talk show hosts, and they had some fucking horrible ones. And Hugh Hewitt was one of them, and he was a piece of shit 35, 40 years ago, and he is today. He's a Trump-humping piece of shit. Well, Donald Trump was on his show, and this guy was asking about the documents, and Donald Trump was talking shit, talking circles, as he does. And then he comes out and says, I really believe if I get indicted, bad things will happen in this country. And Hugh Hewitt said, what do you mean bad things? And he wouldn't say.
Big problems.
Big problems. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big problems. And to me, that just seems like incitement of the insurrection 2.0. I mean, that's where he is at this point. He can't win these investigations and these possible indictments. So all he can do is try to whip these people up to start some kind of violence to take things by force. And I know that's not even going to fucking work. This guy's desperate at this point.
Well, did you ever notice when he's on a show like that you can hear this banging, this banging off camera?
No,
and that's his lawyers slamming their heads against the wall, because every time he goes on there, he essentially admitted that he took the material. He claims he claimed there. Well, I declassified all of that. There's no record of it, of course.
Well, he
said, I took it. You know, I took this stuff on purpose. It wasn't because somebody accidentally sent it down there. It wasn't because the FBI planted it. It wasn't because I wanted to use it for this or that or the other. I just took it because it was mine, which it isn't. He admitted to the crime.
Right.
Right there on that Hugh Hewitt broadcast. He admitted to it.
But then he goes on the broadcast and said, I declassified it. Yet his lawyers, when they put in their motions, they will never admit to it being declassified, because they've already been burned. And if they send something that's a lie to the court, they're going to be on the hook for fucking perjury. So they won't say it was declassified, because it wasn't declassified. But Donald Trump will still put that in the ether. And there will be a certain amount of people that say, yeah, it was declassified. Donald Trump said it was fucking declassified.
Well, and, you know, the only one who's come forward to say, yeah, he did it is the, what's his name, the Indian guy,
Cash Patel.
Cash Patel. This guy is, he's not under oath at this point, but at some point he'll have to be under oath. Is he going to say the same thing and go to jail?
Probably.
Because
not.
We know that he has not declassified anything because the status would change. It would be reflected in the record. You declassify something, you have to record that so that people know how to treat it. And it was not done. It was not done. There's no record. We know he did not do it. So Cash Patel is lying through his teeth.
Absolutely. I mean, I read somewhere, and I can't remember who wrote this, if it was a judge or whoever it was, that they were saying that in order to declassify something, you can't wave your hands. You've got to memorialize it somehow to show that you've actually done it. You've got to make aware the people who wrote the document that it is now declassified. And for all intents and purposes, a declassified document has to have a stamp that says declassified on it. We saw the photo of the documents in his home at Mar-a-Lago laying on the floor there. Not one of them had any kind of stamp that said declassified. Not one.
Now, the big question right now, let's throw this in real quick, is Judge Cannon's ruling going to stand, or are they going to appeal it? And if they do appeal it and ask for an expedited ruling, it should be overturned immediately. Even with all the conservative judges that will be on the appeals court, unless they want to be totally vilified, just like she is, for her idiocy, they have to overturn it or reveal themselves to be nothing but partisan hacks, which, you know, seems to have absolutely no consequences because more than half the Supreme Court is in that same boat. Yes, they are partisan hacks. They were put there to be partisan hacks. That's what they are. Yes, the Supreme Court is delegitimized. Yes, it is. There's no getting it back. It has to be expanded, and at least four have to be expelled. They have to be impeached. And you know which ones they are. The last three plus Thomas have to be expelled from the court, impeached. It has to happen, or the court will never, ever, ever again be taken seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, the thing about it is it's a matter of what they do now. Now, I have to say, we're recording this on Friday at about noon, and this may not air till Saturday morning. But it wouldn't be surprising if we hear today that the DOJ has appealed this. And some people are saying, one of the guys, God, I can't remember his name. Anyway, he's on TV. He's a former Justice Department person and a lawyer, but he said what he sees happening is that they'll immediately go today, meaning Friday, and ask for a stay on that decision and then put together the appeal. Which seems like the best thing. Now, the other option would be to just let the guy, the special master, do his job and get it fucking done with. She gave him till November 30th to do it, which is surprisingly after the midterms. I don't know that they'll even need this for the midterm win, but that's what she did, and she did it very specifically. Now, this guy, this special master, isn't necessarily a bad choice. He was appointed by Ronald Reagan, which means he's 150 years old. But he does seem to have some integrity. He's the one that signed off on that FISA warrant on what's his name for Donald Trump, one of the first guys to get busted. But so he might very well look at it and say, what the fuck is this? But the problem with that is, if the special master finds against Donald Trump, then Donald Trump will fucking appeal it and take it to the Supreme Court. So why not just take that one step out, appeal it, and if it goes to the 11th Circuit and they say, yeah, fuck you, it's overturned, that's a stupid idea, then it goes to Supreme Court. I don't think people say, well, go to Supreme Court and they'll just let him out of it. I don't know, because this is such a flagrant, stupid fucking decision that everybody is just amazed that she even did it. She was given an out by the DOJ, and she wasn't smart enough to fucking take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's she's got a word salad there that really means nothing. I mean, it's I have yet to see. Of course, I don't watch Fox News ever, but I have yet to see a right-wing judicial authority come out and say this was a good decision and why. Not one. They're either quiet, or it's only the liberal justices that are condemning this. The others are just keeping their mouths shut. I have not seen one, which is not to say some haven't done it. But somebody like Ken Starr or somebody like that, I haven't seen him come out and say this is a good decision.
Well, Ken Starr's got an excuse. He's now dead, so.
Oh, is he?
He just died a couple days ago. Read the fucking paper.
Oh, Ken's you're dead. Right. What am I? No, that's right. That's right. Well, he won't be. We won't be hearing from him.
No. I think we'll probably get a big zero.
I totally forgot that. I totally phased that out. But I haven't seen anybody. Scalia hasn't been heard from either.
Oh yeah, Scalia and Ken Starr down there plotting for Donald Trump's admission to the dark regions of hell.
But, yeah, the devil's going, I don't want it. I don't want that fucker. Find someplace else to put him. There's other religions that have bad places. Send him to one of those. I'm getting my own lawyers.
Satan's going, man, I don't need that fucking dark cloud. Get him the fuck out of here. Well, here's my question about Cannon, though. You know, Cannon made this horrific decision. And yes, we'll get through this, and Donald Trump will pay the price. But what do we do with Cannon? I mean, if she makes this bad decision, here we've got somebody sitting on the federal court that's probably going to make tons of bad decisions, probably already has made bad decisions that go against this country, the Constitution, and people's personal rights. What do we do with that? I mean, I know she's
every
got a
judge,
job for life. Can we get rid of her somehow?
Every judge can be impeached. I just don't know what the forum would be. I don't know if it would be a state legislature. The Florida State Legislature, which obviously that's not going to go anywhere. Right. I assume that's the case, that it's tried in the legislature, like a presidential impeachment is tried in the House, and then the Senate votes on it. But right. I assume that's what happens when you're trying to get rid of a judge in a particular state. But I don't know. Maybe it has to take place. Maybe it has to be done, since all judges, unless they're elected, which some are, the others are appointed by the president in her case. So maybe it has to be in the national forum of the Senate and the House. I'm not sure on that. But there is a process for removing judges. I mean, they just removed one here in Tennessee and sent him to prison because he was sending kids to was sending kids to a workout, automatically without it, just without them even going to trial because they were juveniles. I think she's in prison. Or soon will be. So, and this has happened before, of course, but, so it can happen. But in that case, there was criminal activity. In this case, it would just be because they're incompetent.
Well, it is Friday now, and I will tell you this, Ed, it's not going to change anything. I've told people before on the podcast, I'm going out of town Sunday. I'll probably be gone most of the week, if not all of the week, in Savannah. That said, I've changed some things a little bit. Instead of recording a bunch of stuff ahead of time and running it after the fact, I bought a little computer and I have an extra microphone and stuff. So I'm going to be recording podcasts while I'm in Savannah. So hopefully you and I can connect up via Zoom as we've done here and do a show. But if nothing else, do you have any predictions or foresee anything for the next week? Because things are happening quickly.
No, I'm afraid to go out on a limb, to be honest with you. I thought we might have something going with the meeting at Bedminster with the
right
all of the. I mean, if you've ever seen Tony Soprano and the guys getting together for a meeting on a golf course, I mean, this was exactly what was happening. You know, they're out there. Nobody can wear a wire because you're wearing golf shirts and, you know, you're out there away from everything. They can't read your lips and so forth. You got Kevin McCarthy and Hannity and Ty Cobb is there and a few others, which really surprised me because he's had some not nice things to say about Trump lately.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why is he at a meeting with him on a golf course? I don't get that.
That's an interesting question. And I'll be honest with you, from our experience in the media, there could very well be some FBI agent a little distance away with a very sensitive shotgun mic that could probably pick all that shit up.
Yeah, or somebody, and more likely somebody in that group actually is wearing a wire.
You know what I would have loved to have done? Get some kid who has a drone as they're standing out there and fly that motherfucker over them. That would make them shit their pants.
No kidding. But to your question, I don't have any predictions at this point. A lot will depend on what happens this afternoon.
Yeah.
If there is no appeal filed today, they will not file one.
Right.
I predict that.
I agree.
They will let the special master work his magic.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then it's going to be harder for them to appeal because their special master went through it. Now there's that information out there. And when he does try to appeal it, it's going to be hard for him to win that.
My question is, though, because no one knows what's there except the FBI, who, you know, have seen it and cataloged it.
Oh, absolutely. They already have.
So, and we assume that some people on Trump's side knows somewhat what's there, what's missing, more likely, but nobody else knows. So how can this special master go in there without the proper clearances? Are they going to have to give him a super clearance?
Yeah, they're going to have
to. Who does that?
They're going to have to clear them, and I've heard they can do it on an expedited way. I don't know what that means and how quickly. There's one other thing I want to talk about. It's not coming up for a little bit, but I think this is when the next firestorm is going to start, and that is September 28th when we have the next January 6th committee hearing. This is going to be fucking explosive. And the reason I say that is because they've leaked out the fact that they're going to be talking about who put this stuff together, how it was funded. And if they do that, it's going to bring up names of sitting members of Congress. It's going to bring up Ginny Thomas and God knows who else. And this may be the explosive part. When this started in July, I said to people, somehow, some way, they're going to walk this right up to the midterms. They're going September 28th. You know it's not going to be the last one. It's going to be a firestorm. It's going to be their version of October surprise. And this fucking Republican Party is going to be burning to the ground between now and November 8th.
Without a doubt. And we just heard 2 days ago, I think, that Mark Meadows is now talking to the committee. He's finally replying to the subpoena that he has resisted for so long. He has now had agreed to talk to the committee and may have already, for all we know.
Now, wait a minute. You're making the same mistake that I corrected some people on too. It's not the committee. It's the DOJ. It's the DOJ.
Oh, he's talking to DOJ. Okay.
Which is a vastly different thing.
It's much better, actually, because they have the power to do something.
Right. Now, he hasn't complied with the January 6th committee, and they chose not to indict him, and we wondered why. And you also wondered, why has it been so quiet? Well, now we know, because the DOJ had bigger plans for him.
Exactly. And he's gone along with that. So that makes sense, and I get it now. Thank you.
No problem, But the thing is that it's clear. Mark Meadows has been enlightened. You're either going to go to fucking jail or you're going to throw Donald Trump under the bus. And he made the right choice by throwing Donald Trump under the bus. That may not keep him out of jail, Mark Meadows, but it may take some time off his jail time, because he's just as culpable as Donald Trump in this. He was the man standing next to him.
Yeah, he was also the guy in the office the day they carried the boxes out, I guarantee you. So so he knew about those as well.
And he may have been the mole for this whole situation.
Yes, I'm thinking you're right, because he would have known.
And we also know that the people around Donald Trump said, hey, listen, man, don't talk to Mark Meadows so much. That could be a problem. So they know, too. They know that Mark Meadows has been pressured enough to give up Donald Trump, and Mark Meadows is not going to be helpful to him.
Yeah, and then, well, we've got, what's his face, the lawyer who wanted to be the attorney general. He's an environmental
Jeffrey
lawyer.
Jeffrey Clark
is given it. I mean, he's been ordered to, he's been subpoenaed.
Well, he's been subpoenaed, but he's also said that he's been notified that he's under criminal investigation.
Well, they took his phone. They took all his electronics. That's what they did. They raided him and took his electronics. Yeah.
But they didn't do it in such a special way like with Mike Lindell. They catch him in a Hardee's drive up in Mankato, Minnesota, and they take his fucking phone. I thought that was hilarious.
Have you seen him talking about that and saying, I don't have a computer. My whole life is on the phone. You know, and I'm suing the government, and I'm going, how are you going to call your lawyer?
Well, nothing he's ever, exactly. Nothing he's ever said has come to fruition. So he can claim all these things he wants, but I'm going to tell you what, because Mike Lindell has been in the thick of it. Mike Lindell's upset that his phone's been confiscated, but I bet there's a lot of other motherfuckers a little worried about what Mike Lindell has on that phone. Cause he's a stupid motherfucker. He probably has everything.
Oh, you know he does. I mean, here's this guy who's been going around sponsoring these media events, which do nothing except bring together the dregs of that particular world. I mean, the speakers they have at these things are like, they make Q look brilliant.
Right.
You know, I mean, these are people with conspiracy theories with lizard people, the worst of the worst. I mean, these people are bad, and this is the people he hangs out with all the time. So, I mean, I hope they wear gloves when they touch that phone. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, no shit. God knows where Mike Lindell has been. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and we'll try to catch up this week when I'm in Savannah. I think we'll be able to figure it out, but who knows? You know, my wife will be in control, so I don't have my own my own mind to work on. I usually sit at night when she's asleep and do the podcast, but we do it earlier. So we'll see what happens. I'm sorry.
I'll be dropping my wife off at the airport on Wednesday. So then I'll be, I'll be wide open for,
of course you will.
You know, I'll have my honey-do list, no doubt, but, anyway,
when does she get back?
Friday.
So what'll happen is what happens with every man and who has a honey-do list, you'll fucking relax, kick back, have a beer, whatever you got to do. And then Thursday about 9 o'clock, you go, I better get that shit done.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
All right, Ed, we're well over time, and we really can't be over time because I have no time limitations. We do whatever the fuck we want here. So thanks for joining me. We'll connect up next week and see how things break out. And thanks for coming by. It's always nice to have a different perspective.
Yeah, it's fun. We'll talk to you Monday, maybe.
Yeah, we'll try to do it Monday. And for those of you at home, I hope you have a great day. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.